Parshas Dvorim, Tovshin Ayin Dalid. Today is Dalid of the fourth day of the month of Av, which is the day before Heav. Heav is the yahrzeit of the Arizal. Zecher Tzadik v'Kodesh Levrocha Eschus Yagon Aleinu V'al Kol Yisrael. Tonight, which will be tonight and tomorrow, and it's also the yahrzeit of one of the most significant rabbis in my life, Reb Michal Dorfman Zecher Nevrocha, Reb Yechiel Michal, Reb Yeshua David Alevi. And we dedicate the shir Leilu Nishmasai. I really believe that what we're going to speak about now is among the most important things by far, in Yiddishkeit, in Judaism, and in life. We're starting Chumash Devarim, and the rabbis tell us that the first four Chumashim really make up the essence of the Torah. The fifth Chumash, Chumash Devarim, is called Mishneh Torah. It's a review of the entire, all other four books, and in a sense has everything in it. And this is where Moshe Rabbeinu is standing at the finish line. He's at the end of his life, and the Jews are standing at the finish line of the era, the greatest era in Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu, and the Dor Dea, as they were known, the generation of knowledge, where despite the fact that when we look at the Chumash, it looks to us as if these guys got it all wrong. Every minute they're making mistakes. Every minute they're making Moshe Rabbeinu nuts, and they're making themselves nuts, and they're messing up every way a person can possibly mess up. The Arizal tells us that those people, the students of Moshe Rabbeinu, were obviously on a much higher level than the rabbis of the Gemara. Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon. So we're talking about the top, very high level, because of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was on such a high level, obviously anyone who was attached to him was way, way, way up there. And yet, we see all kinds of problems, and we see them making every kind of mistake in the world, and Moshe Rabbeinu reserves the job of reprimanding the Jews to his final days, all the way at the end. We hardly see any reprimand at all whatsoever in the four books, in the four Chumashim. This Chumash, Chumash Dvarim, begins with the words, these are the words which Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the Jewish people. And here also, it's hidden. It's very well hidden. He doesn't actually reprimand them in an obvious way. He lists the places, the locations where they messed up. Every single location, reminding them, remember this place, remember that place, and he does this right before he's about to leave the world. Reprimand is called toichocha, lohochiach. There's a pasuk in the Torah which says, hoicheach toichiach esamisecha. It doesn't say it once, it doesn't say reprimand, it says reprimand, reprimand your friend. However, Rabbeinu Zal, the final shir that Rabbeinu Zal, that Rabbi Nachman gave in his lifetime, the last public appearance on Rosh Hashanah of the year Tav Kuf Ayin Aleph, when he was 38 years old, when he left the world a few days later, on the 18th of Tishrei, on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, the final shir that Rabbeinu Zal said, he began with the words, even though tochacha is an obligation and it's a mitzvah and it's so important, he quoted the words of Rabbi Akiva in the Gemara. He said that Rabbi Akiva said during his time, I wonder if there's anybody that's qualified to reprimand the Jew. And Rabbeinu Zal said, if Rabbi Akiva said that during his time, could you imagine what we should say today? Could you imagine how difficult and how delicate and how dangerous it is for any Jew to reprimand another Jew? And Rabbi Nosson Zal explains in Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Aleph, Hilchas Orev, Halacha Gimel, paragraphs 30 and 31, Rabbi Nosson Zal explains that we have a real paradox here. On one hand, we're told impossible for the Torah to be fulfilled unless this is done. There's definitely going to be a need for reprimand. There's going to be a need for parents to reprimand children. there's going to be a need for rabbis to reprimand community. The Gemara says that a rabbi who is loved by his entire congregation, he ain't no rabbi. He obviously is not fulfilling his responsibility. Because unfortunately, sometimes a rabbi has to point out to people that there's a mistake being made that needs to be corrected. And not everybody handles that the same way. Not everybody will say, I love you for telling me. Thank you so much that you care enough and you love me enough and you respect me enough to point out when I'm doing something wrong. We know there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, one of the famous Mishnahs in Pirkei Avos, where one of the greatest rabbis, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, the chief rabbi of Klal Yisrael during his generation, who the Arizal tells us, that Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai was similar to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu lived 120 years, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai lived 120 years. Moshe Rabbeinu's 120 years were split up into three parts. 40 years, first 40 years in Egypt, next 40 years in Ethiopia, going through another phase of his life, and he returns to Egypt at the age of 80 years old to take on the mantle of leadership of Klal Yisrael. Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai's life paralleled that. First 40 years, he was not yet close to Torah. The second 40 years, studying and climbing, and at the age of 80, took on the leadership of Klal Yisrael, the great Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. The Gemara says that this Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai had five top students. The Gemara describes how great they were, each one special in his own way. And he told these five, go out into the world and search, research, and come back and tell me what's the most important, what's the most special thing in life. Each one came back with a different item. One of them said the most special thing in life is if a person can have a good eye, an ayin toiv, if they can see good in everybody, in everything, in every situation. The other one came back and said, a good neighbor. Third one said the most special thing in life is to have a good friend. Most people who go through life experience different times where they interact with people, and at some point in time they think that this person is their best friend or one of their best friends, and then they discover that they were way off the mark. They made a big, big mistake. So the question is, imagine if a person could dial Hashem, a person could Google Hashem, and say, Hashem, could you tell me what's the real definition of a good friend? How do I know if somebody's really my good friend? Is it somebody who's prepared to lend me $100,000? If it's somebody who says, wow, you're the greatest? The answer is we have the commentary on Mishnayos, the Bar Tanura, Rabbi Ovadya mi Bar Tanura, who speaks on behalf of Hashem. These tzaddikim b'shechina spoke through their mouth. And the Bar Tanura on that statement in the Mishnayos, the definition of chaver toiv, a good friend, he's got one line. The definition of a good friend is somebody who is willing to point out to you when you're making a mistake, when you're doing something wrong. They'll be able to correct you in a healthy, positive way, constructive way. That's the definition of a good friend. So Moshe Rabbeinu, all the way at the end, right before he's about to leave the world, he activates this good friend policy to Klal Yisrael. And he reprimands them in a sugar-coated way. He doesn't say what they did wrong. He reminds them of the places that they were where they messed up. For what purpose? So that they'll pray to Hashem, they'll beg Hashem, Hashem, help me not to repeat my mistake. It's one thing to do something wrong. It's something completely different. Anybody can make a mistake. Anybody can do something wrong. But when somebody realizes that they do something wrong and they do it again, that puts it in a completely different category. We have the example of Lot and his daughters. They made a decision, even though they knew that they were crossing a tremendous red line. One night, they got the father drunk, and one of them spent the night with the father. The second night, they got him drunk again, and the second one spent the night with her father. And the Torah, the Gemara points out, that the first night, is half a crime. Anybody can make a mistake, can overdrink. But after Lot knew, realized what had happened to him the first night, the fact that he allowed this to allow himself to fall into that again, get drunk a second time, that's a whole other story. So therefore, when a person repeats a sin, the Torah tells us, you commit a sin the first time, it's relatively easy to do tshuva. Ovar v'shana, if a person does a sin and then repeats it, nasis lo keheter. Suddenly he doesn't say, ouch, it doesn't hurt. The first time, a person who's really trying to be religious, and he falls, he crosses a line, he screams, ouch, when it happens. He says, oi. The second time, chas v'shalom, very often the oi disappears. Doesn't hurt anymore. Doesn't feel strange. It's not strange anymore. I'm doing it for the second time already, chas v'shalom. So we find that Moshe Rabbeinu took upon himself only right before he passed away. And the Gemara points out, Yaakov Avinu, also the choicest one of the three forefathers of the Jews, the best, the top of the top, also only reprimanded his children all the way at the end of his life, right before he's about to leave. So Rav Nosson Zal says that this mitzvah of a Jew being responsible for another Jew, that when I see somebody else doing something wrong, I've got to scream, ouch. It's got to hurt me. And I've got to try to think, what can I do to prevent this person from doing it again, from wanting to do it again? The real way that a person fulfills this mitzvah is through desire, ratzon. I want the person to do the right thing. Because Rav Nosson Zal says, when the Torah says that you should reprimand your friend, which one of us is nuts, is crazy enough to think that we could reprimand somebody else? Do you know exactly where that person is at? Do you know everything that that person went through in their life that's making them do this? When a person does something, it's a result, very often it's a result of circumstances, it's a result of where they are, sometimes it's a result of something that's built up inside the person for a period of time, and now you see a person say something or do something, and it looks wrong to you. It looks like what they did, it's obvious, it's wrong. So I'm going to go tell him he did something wrong. But you don't know what's behind it. The Gemara says, for example, perfect example. The Gemara says, "Ein odom nitpas al tsaroi." A person is not liable for something that they do when they're in extreme pain. I remember one of the most important experiences in my life was when I had the zechus, one of my other rabbis, Reb Tzvi Aryeh Rosenfeld, zechron evrocha, the last years of his life. He was extremely ill, and the illness was such, the pain was so great that he couldn't sleep at night. He was up all night from pain. And he told some of the people that were very close to him, you have no idea, you can't imagine what it's like to be begging for sleep, to be waiting for, and it can't come. One morning, he came into shul, as he did usually, to daven with his students. And at the end of Shachris, the custom, the Breslov custom was to have a rikid, to dance and sing one of the tunes for 3 minutes, 4 minutes. The people that were dancing in the rikid, it was relatively early in the morning, 7 o'clock, 7:30, some people are a little groggy at that time, were singing not like the finest singers in the world. And the dance was finished. We sat down to learn 5-10 minutes of halacha. And the rabbi opened up the halacha shir by saying, you guys sing like a bunch of dead cows. It's a pretty powerful statement. Everybody heard it. Nobody responded. And from that, he went into teaching the halachas that he was teaching that day. 24 hours later, the next day, after Shachris, after the dancing, we sat down to the shir, and he started the shir by saying, I want to apologize for what I said yesterday, because even though you do sing like a bunch of dead cats, the last thing in the world I would have wanted to say was that. But he mentioned, the Gemara says, Ein otom nitpas al tsaroi, that when a person's in excruciating pain, and they say something, it's not the person that's saying it, it's the pain that's saying it. The pain is screaming. And this was such an incredible, important lesson that came up in the almost 40 years since he passed away, 35 years. I've come to many situations in life, all kinds of situations of conflict and controversy, and when I was able to share this story, this information with a person, they were able to stop to think. Somebody was so angry because somebody said this and this to them. And when I reminded them that when the person said this, where were they? How much pain were they in at the time? And if they said it in that level of pain, that's not the person talking, that's the pain talking. Something completely different. This is an example where a person would want to be mechiach somebody, and you have to have so much knowledge before you're ready. So Rav Nosson Zal says, which person knows what the other person is lacking? And which person can honestly say that they're confident that the other guy is going to listen to them? That if I speak to him, I'm 100% sure that he's going to accept what I say, and he's going to accept it the right way, and he's going to correct what he's doing wrong. And even if the person will say, you know, you're 100% right, I accept what you're saying, I agree with what you're saying, I was wrong. How many people can say that, and then tomorrow do it again, and do it again 100 times, and when you ask the person, didn't you say last week when I told you that this was a bad thing to do? Didn't you say it was a bad thing to do? Yes. Didn't you say you're going to try not to do it again? Yes. Then why are you doing it again? Don't you know? I have a Yetzirah. The fact that I know it's not the right thing to do has nothing whatsoever to do just about with my doing the right thing. There's a pasuk, V'yodato hayoim v'ashevoise levavecha. It's you will know today, you will understand today in your brain and be able to communicate to your heart what the right thing to do is. The arena, the battlefield between the Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Hara is in the heart. That's where the battle goes on. So just because somebody heard and accepted, no proof yet that they're going to do the right thing. Therefore, Rav Nosson Zal says, it's extremely difficult to fulfill the mitzvah of Teichocha and to fulfill this responsibility and liability for every single other Jew. So since we're being shown here that it's almost impossible to fulfill this mitzvah correctly, and halavai we should be able to reprimand ourselves, halavai should be able to correct myself when I'm doing something wrong, then how can I fulfill this mitzvah? What can I do about this? Rav Nosson Zal says, I can want to do it. We know the Gemara says, "Kol mi sheyesh bo yira shamayim," a person who has real respect for Hashem, dvorav nishmoim, his words are accepted, his words are listened to. And Rabbeinu Zal says about that, "Koiloi nase ramim," his words become like thunder. Just like thunder, the Gemara tells us, why did Hashem create thunder? To smooth out the rough edges in people's hearts, the crookedness in people's hearts. People have crooked hearts. People have hearts that are filled with yetzahara, evil desires, every type of junk and garbage and everything in the world. And therefore, it's extremely difficult, impossible to penetrate. How do you penetrate? You need thunder. How do you get thunder? Rabbeinu Zal says, a person who is a real Yirei Shamayim, his words are like thunder. His words can crash through. Which one of us thinks that we are a real Yirei Shamayim? We know Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbi Nachman said, Ich bin an Oitzer von Yira Shamayim. I am a treasury of Yira Shamayim. But do we think that we're on that level? Therefore, Rav Nosson Zal says, the only way that a Jew can really fulfill this mitzvah is by wanting to see every one of my friends be religious. I want to see every one of my friends succeed in life. I want to see their success in Shalom Bayis, in Parnas, in everything. That we can do. When I go to shul and I put on a talis, whether I fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis or not, questionable. Did I show Hashem that I want to do the mitzvah of tzitzis? Yes, definitely. I want to do the mitzvah of tefillin. That we can do, and that the Yetzirah cannot take away from us. That the Satan cannot rob a person of that desire. I want to serve Hashem. I want Hashem to get pleasure, to be pleased by my actions. And then Rav Nosson Zal goes on to quote the Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar HaKadosh says in the section called Raya Mehemna. Raya Mehemna means trustworthy shepherd. That's the section where Moshe Rabbeinu speaks. And the Zohar HaKadosh says there, Ubegin dehavyas choshiv bechayoch. Because you, Moshe Rabbeinu, throughout your entire life, you were always thinking, De'ilu haveef shaloch, that if it were possible for you, Havis Mahader Koile Alma Tchoiz Kutchebrichu, you would have brought the entire world close to Hashem. That was your desire. That was what was on your screen throughout your whole life, Moshe Rabbeinu. You wanted to bring everybody close to Hashem. Not even just the Jews, the whole world. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to bring the entire Jewish people close. That's what made you so special. That's what made Hashem choose you, that Hashem said about Moshe Rabbeinu, Bechol Beisi Ne'amonu. Not what you did, what you wanted to do. That this was, Moshe Rabbeinu was wall-to-wall Ratzon. He had this deep desire when he looked at every Jew. He didn't see what was wrong with the Jew. He was looking, wow, I wish he could be a tzaddik. I wish if there were anything I could possibly do to help this person be a tzaddik, to help this person succeed in his Yiddishkeit, I wish I could do it. I wish I'll do it. That's the definition of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's how the Zohar HaKadosh defines what was so special about him that he was chosen to be the ultimate leader of Klal Yisrael. So Rav Nosson Zal says, we see that even Moshe Rabbeinu, when it came to fulfilling the mitzvah of Toichacha, when he was reprimanding the Jews, that he was yearning to see their success. And that's what took him to the levels that he achieved. And this is why the Gemara tells us that even tzaddikim do not reprimand anybody until they're about to pass away, because this madrega, this level called ratzon, desire, for a person to want the right things, we measure the maturity of a person by what they want. You get a 3-year-old kid, you ask him, what do you want for your birthday? He says, I want 3 cars. I want those little cars, the blue one, and the orange one, and the purple one. Then you get a 30-year-old baby, and you ask him, what does he want for his birthday? And he says also, I want the 3 little cars. I want the Jaguar X90, the purple one, and I want the this. And the maturity of a person is measured by their desires. As a person matures, as a person gets older, as they get closer to the finish line, the Ratzon becomes more and more pure. They let go, they disregard the nonsense Ratzonos, and they get to higher and higher levels of Ratzon, of holy Ratzon, of wanting the right things. And it's only when a person is at the peak of Ratzon, it's only when a person has really gotten to the level where they don't want anything for themselves. I don't want to make the other person look stupid. I don't want to reprimand, insult somebody, because that's going to make me feel great. If he's nothing, then I'm somebody, then I'm great. My only interest is what Hashem wants. And my only interest is the good of the other person, how the other person's going to benefit. This is how Rav Nosson Zal explains why these tzaddikim waited all the way to right before even Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was 3 years old, his ratzon was on a much higher level than us when we'll be 300 years old. And Moshe Rabbeinu understood to wait and wait and wait till he gets to a level of such a high level where his desires are so pure, only positive, only goodwill on behalf of Klal Yisrael. That's when he did it. We should be zecha that the Moshe Rabbeinus, the true tzaddikim, should give us a type of toichocha. There's a pasuk, Es asher yehav Hashem yochiach. One who Hashem loves, he reprimands. When Hashem loves a person, when a tzaddik loves a person, he's close enough to that person to show that person what they need to improve, what they need to correct, so that we'll be zeicher to do what we need to do. Each one of us should be zeicher to want. We have so many, one of the biggest problems that everybody recognizes in Klal Yisrael today is people looking negatively at other Jews in every kind of way. Rav Nosson Zal here shows us what it's really all about. The peak of success in Klal Yisrael is when each person will want only good for every other Jew. I want every other Jew, to, including myself, to come close to Hashem, to do the right thing. And in that schus will be zeichet to see the coming of Moshiach, the building of the Beis Mikdash, Amen v'Amen.
Amen.